Well, hello everybody and welcome to this week's NPL show. And we're continuing our look at all the various positions on a football field. This week we're talking about the engine room midfielders. And joining me here to discuss who have been the standout performers this past season in the NPL Premier Division, we're joined once again by Mr. Andrew Simpson. James Hayes is here.
Hello.
James Hayes is here.
Afternoon.
Swampy joins us once again from Belgium.
Bonjour.
And making a long-awaited return, welcome back to Mr. James Gordon. Hello, James. How are you, more importantly?
I'm fine. All the better for seeing you.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? Isn't that lovely? Right, then. Let's get into this. And Stafford Rangers. No Berkey here to explain this selection, but he picked Jack Sherratt. I've got Sam Coulson written down as well.
I mean, he's a good young player and he's got the ability to make it
James,
in midfield at
James,
the same time.
James, be quiet. Joining us now, live, Mr. Ian Burke, everyone.
Burke. Here we go. Fashionably late.
Oh.
Did his Stafford siren go off?
What have I missed here?
Burke, oh my God, what a good haircut that is. Burke, you mentioned...
I'm just taking after you.
Oh, that's amazing. Burke, you mentioned Jack Sherratt in your deliberations. Why?
I certainly did. Well, the thing is, I only saw him play for an hour this season because for some reasons I cannot fathom whatsoever, he got the shepherd's crook after 60 minutes when Hyde played him earlier in the season. And he was outstanding. He was running the show in midfield. And for reasons I cannot comprehend, he was substituted. He weren't injured or anything like that. He still had a full tank. And they changed formation, brought a couple of subs on, and Stafford went to pieces. He played throughout the season, done well. He's been one of the few bright sparks from what you hear around the scene and all that about Stafford this season. And I think his name deserves to be in the reckoning. You know when you say, when you buy a house, buy the worst house on the best street. Well, with footballs, it's the opposite way around. Buy the best player from the worst team. I think he's a decent player, so there you go.
Well, it's funny, actually, because Burkey, before coming on air, I actually had spoken to a couple of FC supporters, just asking their opinion of midfield players. And he was one that caught the eye as well at FC United from a fan's perspective. So, good call.
Quick point to make about Stafford is they do actually have in their ranks one of the best midfielders in the league in Tom Thorley, but he's missed virtually all of the season with injury and has played at a higher level for Hensford. He's played in National League North and he actually saw him. He made his comeback against Witten in February and was slowly working his way back to fitness. So Jodie, I'm sure, will want to count on Thorley next season, who's been a brilliant player at this level and for a long, long time.
Let's go on to Atherton Calls. I've got written down John Welsh, vastly experienced midfielder, of course.
He was superb coming in for Atherton Calls. He won't have been used to playing on their pitch, but I tell you what, he reads the game so well, and he obviously in the twilight of his career now, but he's still got that wherewithal. He can read the game beautifully, he can set up a pass. And yeah, he's still got it. He's more than comfortable at step three.
Matlock, Luke Dean, who was ever present throughout the season. Grantham's an interesting one because Danny Rackie, what a roller coaster season he's had. He ended up being manager at one point, didn't he? Let's talk about Buxton. Aaron Chalmers signed from Ashton in October. But Simo, you mentioned Tom Elliott in your deliberations.
It's a bit of a cheat choice because he came in December, so I don't think he should be considered for our final pick at the end of the show. But in terms of impact after he arrived from Hensford, probably one of the best individual midfielders that I saw this season. He was a player that really caught the eye, absolutely ran the show. And I think Buxton will really build their midfield around him next season. Lovely, silky, creative player, great eye for a pass. Loads of creativity, loads of invention. And it'll be interesting to see how long he stays at this level because he has played higher for Nuneaton and other sides at higher above. So it'll be interesting if Buxton can keep hold of him. But yeah, that's one for an eye for next season, but one who came in, made a fantastic impact. Really, really nice player to watch.
One thing about, you mentioned another player, Buxton there, who came from Ashton and Chalmers. He's a very versatile midfield player because he can drop back into the centre-half role superbly well. And again, he's got absolutely wonderful delivery.
Aaron Chalmers signed from Ashton in October. Let's talk about Ashton now. Sam Sheridan, who was playing centre-back for much of the season. But Swampy, you've mentioned Michael Brewster.
I have, yeah, and actually a notable, I've got a note here about Sam Sheridan as well. But yeah, Michael Brewster, good quality player. He works for Manchester United as well, I believe, with the disability team there. And, you know, he's come across from Adventon Collieries, and it's been, again, it's not been the season he probably was hoping for. Because
he was only at Colts for like two games or something.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's probably not the season he was hoping for, because he was expecting and hoped to join a team that were going to be really fighting for playoff of not winning the league, but it's not panned out that way. But he's a constant performer. He's got good quality about him. He's a young lad as well. So I thought I'd stick him in there.
James Hayes. There's two midfielders from Radcliffe. We've got from Radcliffe Prince Haywood, who's now obviously at Nantwich, and Harry Winter.
Harry Winter settled in quite well into Radcliffe this season, but out of the choice of two midfielders, I went to Prince Haywood for a certain reason, just because of how he's developed over the 2 years. As well as being versatile, I mean, we mentioned it a little bit when we were talking about the centre defenders a couple of weeks ago. He's growing in that position now, and how he plays the ball. He's been quite crucial to not just Radcliffe season, but Nantwich as well. You saw immediately how he gelled into Nantwich's side.
Prince Haywood's transformation over the last few seasons has been amazing. I remember seeing him play for Ramsbottom back in 2015, I think it would have been, and he was just a headless chicken. He was so lightweight, being just pushed off the ball easily. And you could see he had skill. No danger about that at all, but he was just being barged away from the ball. And the game had passed him by because he weren't up to it physically. He's filled out a little bit now, I suppose. He's grown into the game, and he's starting to look the part.
He's got absolutely fantastic balance. It really is for a small lad. His balance is absolutely exceptional. He goes left and goes right. He's very, 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 very good. He's a quality footballer who at Radcliffe I thought was excellent. And I watched about 19 games against FC United and Manchester last season against Radcliffe. So I got to see him quite a lot. And equally then at Nantwich, he was playing a slightly different role than the one he was playing at Radcliffe. But the quality is there, and as I say, it would surprise me if everybody has him up there.
It was a huge part of the promotion-winning team for Witten in 16-17 when they came up from Division 1 South. Massive figure, symbolically in the middle of the park for Witten. And Albion were absolutely gutted to lose him to Radcliffe, and I know I've tried to get him back once or twice as well, with unsuccessfully. Now, which have got some serious competition in the middle of the park for next season. It'll be really interesting to see kind of how Dave Cook, you know, which kind of combination he goes with, because they've got some, and we'll come on to Nantwich later, but they've got some proper talent in the middle of the field there now.
Yes, absolutely.
But is he not possibly the best talent they've got, so therefore?
For me, yes, but Dave Cook's the boss, so we'll see. Yeah.
Let's talk about Mickleover, and I'll come to you, James Gordon, now. Mason Warren has been, I mean, he's had an odd career. He's only 23. He's been on loan to so many clubs. But all of a sudden, playing with John McGrath, it's clicked for Mason. 7 goals this past season.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with Mickleover when I seen him a couple of times, August, September time. And I thought that they actually played nice football. Obviously, they tailed off. They had some bad defeats after Christmas. But they were one of them teams where I seen them and I thought, actually, they're probably one of the better teams I've seen. The results just weren't adding up to that. And I think Warren, he's a bit like a quarterback number four, where he wants to get his foot on the ball. He wants to dictate the play. He wants to break up the play as well. He takes the penalties, which probably contributes to his goals. Yeah, like you say, he's maybe one of them players that probably benefits from playing week in, week out in the same position, in the same role, and try and grow. I wonder whether, like you say, John McGrath, whether he's going to build that team around him now. I know they've signed the two young centre-halves. Yeah, for me, you know, good left-footed. Everyone left-footed's cultured, aren't they? So he's a good example of a cultured left-foot. Yeah, he certainly impressed me the few times I've seen him.
What James says there about the quarterback, the number four there, it leads on to this interesting part of their game. By the very nature of what they do, you play between the lines. So if you've got a 4-4-2, you've either got the midfielder charging towards them, or you've got an attacker being dragged away. And And then, say, a number 10 who's there to find space of their own, they don't want to be going charging around after a number 4 who's, their job as well is to find a big pocket of space. And we're going to be mentioning a few more number 4s along the way. I'm very sure we're going to be mentioning one of them in particular. But I just think there's a really interesting dynamic between the way the formations are. We mentioned last week that not many teams are playing 4-4-2 as much now. So then you do have a lot more number 4s going up against number 10s. And do they engage in battle, I guess?
Final point on Mason Warren. I mean, if you're a short, left-footed, cultured, deep-lying central midfielder, there is no better person to learn from than his manager.
There we go. Simo, Billy Smart.
Billy's had easily his best season for Witten this season. He was much better behaved than he had to be after last season, let's face it. But actually, certainly for the first 3 or 4 months of the season, was actually nailed on for me as the pick for their player of the season. He did tail off ever so slightly after Christmas, but what he's done is he's reminded people that actually what a contribution he can make to the team when he's doing his playing bit. And they're really keen to keep him because he gives them something that their other midfielders don't have. So made a really good contribution this season.
Let's go to Stalybridge. I've written down Ross Dent. He's gone back to Clitheroe now, hasn't he? But he's had a good couple of seasons at Stalybridge.
I'll tell you what, Ben, since he came in from Clitheroe, he has been an absolute machine in the centre of the park for Stalybridge. He's used to that kind of surface as well, because the one at Clitheroe's, you know, it makes you a bit seasick looking at it, but it's what he's used to. He likes getting involved in the blood and thunder and mud coming all over the place. It's great fun. But he's been a revelation at Stalybridge, and I think they will have been in a lot of trouble in the centre of the park without him. And for him to go back to Clitheroe, I mean, that's a statement of intent from Clitheroe, isn't it? I mean,
they're building a super team, though, aren't they?
At Clitheroe,
yeah.
Let's talk about Gainsborough and James Gordon. I'll come to you. Kingsley James, I've got written down, and Captain Simon Russell. But it's a weird one with Gainsborough. We keep saying it because they had a let's call it a transitional year. There's not that many players you could nail down, but James and Russell were actually pretty consistent and constant all the way through the season for Gainsborough.
Yeah, Gainsborough were one of those teams that had such a poor start to the season that they were pretty much written off by sort of Halloween, if you like. You know, there was a few clubs in their similar position, like Scarborough and Buxton to an extent, Ashton. But yeah, like you say, Russell's been long-serving. It's interesting that they've parted company with him now. Maybe they feel like they need to freshen it up in the midfield a little bit. Curtis Woodhouse will obviously have his own ideas. But yeah, Russell was always that one where, you know, he liked to get his foot on the ball, he likes to put a foot in, he'll put a decent ball into the box. Kingsley James moved on as well, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got behind.
Yeah, so it's probably strange to be talking about midfielders who've had a good season when both of them have left.
When you lose a player who's played 300 games and, you know, it seems that there's a brand new squad going to develop for next season, and equally that squad he's going to work with and, you know, as you say, they're going to need to keep them together because last season it was just every other game, it was a different 11 being played and the stability wasn't at the club, and maybe for next season.
Burke, let's talk about Liam Tong.
Liam Tong came into the club close of the season last year from Stalybridge. His hometown club, Hyde United, he was with Hyde as a junior, finally came home, and people were wondering, what do you make of him? He played at right back for Bridge and for Marine as well. But everyone knows he's a midfielder. So why was he playing right back? Well, the reason he was right back at Stalybridge because Ross Dent was in his position. And the two very similar kinds of players, both box to box, and they will just get stuck in. And you can't have two players like that at all because you need someone having the creativity and whatnot. But Liam Tong, he can defend, as FC United know all too well. Well, certainly the first game that we played against you at Broadhurst Park, that goal line clearance. And he can score as well. He scored some like 12, 13 goals from centre midfield last season. He loves to drive forward. And he was having a goal of the season competition with himself. Pretty much every goal he got was from outside the area, top in, and absolutely hammered home. He's a fantastic, dynamic central midfielder. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens next season when he's got Kingsley James and Yanni Lipka, who's come back to the club alongside him. It's going to be really, really good, strong midfield, that.
Let's go to Morpeth. Simo, I've got Sam Hodgson written down, who's very measured, very versatile. But you picked Liam Noble, who signed for the club in October, from Hartlepool, no less.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? It's absolutely ridiculous that a player of that ability is playing in the Northern Premier League, because he's not even 30 yet. He's dropped down, signed a long-term contract, and he's absolutely bossing it in there for Morpeth, and I'm sure will continue to do so next season. I mean, we've talked about them in previous weeks. They're a club, despite, I know there's been a managerial change, but they're a club with serious intent, and they've got some, you know, there's just quality all through the squad, and he kind of is the cherry on the cake, the kind of real high-class talent in an already very, very strong team. So, again, maybe a bit of a cheap choice, because he's so good, he's played at a higher level, he should be brilliant at this level, but, yeah, the team will be built around him, and let's see what they do next season. I think they're going to do some serious, serious damage.
Teagot, I'll come to you for the next one. I should really go to Berkey, but no, I'll come to you, James, for Scarborough. Peter Davidson written down, but Berkey and you, James, went with Ryan Watson. Why?
He's been you look at Scarborough this year, he's been quite actually their best player, and winning their Sports Player of the Year award. I think he actually won their award.
He won every single award. He won all of them.
And I've shown it straight away when you've got more. This has been his breakout year, really. And he's not even had a bad game this season, I don't think, even off the top of my head.
He's another player who's having a goal of the season competition with himself as well. He could score from absolutely anywhere. He's ridiculous at times. But alongside him, someone who scored my second favourite goal of the season, actually, Kieran Glynn, who banged one in from 35 yards against Hyde. It was just outrageous. And he's signed on for Scarborough next season. And they're going to be a real force, I think, with that midfield they've got there, that front line, solid defence, and, of course, Dav Kelly at the helm. It's going to be a really, really intriguing campaign ahead for this.
Swampet, let's go to Whitbit. I've written down Adam Gell because he made his 200th appearance for the club this past season, and has signed a new contract for next year as well. So he's got to be certainly a consideration. But you picked Danny Rowe.
He's one of those players. I mean, you know, you go to Whitby this season, obviously, with the state of the pitch, we discussed that at length. It's very, very difficult to do anything on. And he's the kind of player, the type of player that can work on any surface, and he's done very well.
But we mentioned earlier about Prince Heywood joining Nantwich and how that's going to prove a bit of a headache for Dave Cook. And I'll come to you, James Gordon, now for a bit of a chat about the headaches that Dave Cook's going to have next year. He's got Prince Heywood, he's got James Laurie, he's got Sean Cook, he's got Casper Hughes. He can't fit all that in, can he?
I've played diamond. Yeah. And to be fair, they have got the two fullbacks do like to get forward, to be fair. So you could maybe get away with playing quite narrow midfield and fitting them all in, because the fullbacks do like to get up there. So interesting, actually, to read Nantwich's statements actually during this, the pandemic or whatever we're calling it these days. Interesting to read the tone of their statements, maybe in comparison to some of the other clubs. It'd be interesting to see where they position themselves when we get started, because Nantwich, for some reason, they're never normally talked about as one of the heavyweights or as a top team or in the discussion amongst the favourites, but they always seem to be up there and capable of beating teams. And like you say, with the talent in midfield that they've got, you know, you'd expect that to be the case next season as well.
Last week, I mentioned about Lancaster City. And I said, don't worry, I've got this. Niall Cowperthwaite, I'm gonna lobby heavily for him. Mark Fell described him as the Rolls Royce of midfielders.
Well, listen, he's got pedigree. He's played at Barrow. I think he's from Grange. He scored two goals last season for Lancaster. And he's a tall, strong, competitive centre midfield player. And it's no surprise he played 37 games last season. He's just re-signed for the club for another season. And he's 28. So, again, he's still got, you know, plenty of years ahead of him. And, he's a good quality player, you know. And they are where they are because of players like him in the team. You know, and if you have that, I mean, again, he's probably got the height of a centre-half opposed to a centre-midfield player. And you can see as a player of his calibre, maybe as the years go on, that's where you probably end up playing his centre-half position when you lose a little bit of pace. But at the moment, he can work in that midfield, and he's got, you know, plenty of time ahead of him. And equally, it's a great re-signing for Lancaster, because they were certainly the surprise package last season. And not only that, they continued and continued and continued, and they have a style of football that they play, and they play week in, week out, and it's worked for them. If they can do that next season, they're going to be very, very hard to beat.
Yeah, just a, while we're on Lancaster, just a shout out for Paul Dawson, who's also made a brilliant contribution for them from midfield this season, scored so many important goals, really good understanding with David Norris, who we might talk about next week. So I just wanted to make sure that we gave Dawson a bit of love as well, because he had a great season.
Let's talk about, let's go to the top four then. And we mentioned how blessed Basford have been with players. Callum Chettle and Matt Fornill. That's pretty good, isn't it?
It's not bad.
Probably for me, the best midfield partnership in the league. Fornill's consistency is just ridiculous. And again, we talked about last week about players we take for granted because they're so good. When we were talking about Wadaka, Fornill probably comes into that bracket. And he's obviously the captain there as well. So a leader in the dressing room. They've already secured his services for next season. He's chipped in with a few goals as well. He can do a little bit of everything. But it's that sustained excellence that I've got him in the list, really. And you know, what a duo to, you know, could have had Chettle toss of a coin. What a duo to build around for next season. And I know they were in the there or thereabouts anyway, but they absolutely will be challenging for the title next season. And Thornhill will be a big reason for that. Fantastic player.
And with Callum Chettle as well, remember, he was in the Football League not so long ago at all. There's no way he should be at step three, but obviously helps that his dad's there and there's a couple of quid swilling around. So why not? He's enjoying his football. He's playing fantastically well. And as Simo said, Basford will be right up there again next season.
James, Gordon, Warrington. There's been a bit of a discussion about Warrington. Bohan Dixon, obviously, goes without saying, Bohan Dixon, it's just Bohan Dixon, isn't it? But the discussion has been surrounding Ben Garrity. Can he be included in the list because he left at the end of January? Personally, I think he can.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the season finished 6 weeks after he left, pretty much, didn't it? So, I mean, yeah, you know, what a player, you know, real all-action midfielder, never stops. I think I know Paul Carden says one of his biggest attributes as well for Garrity is that he trains like he plays. So, you know, he's like that in training as well. You know, got the move to Blackpool. I think the change in manager at Blackpool will probably suit him as well, because obviously their new manager has got a bit of a pedigree with young players, having been at Liverpool. So, yeah, a massive miss for Warrington as well. You know, Warrington's certainly far from being a one-man team, but he was probably the one player you'd take out of the team that you'd notice wasn't there. To be fair, Warrington did have a couple of decent number fours in Steve Jennings earlier in the season, had to retire, and then Scott Brown obviously came in on loan from Harrogate. But even with those players, without Ben Garrity in the team, you noticed there was a hole, and it's certainly a big hole that Warrington have got to fill for next season. Bohan Dixon's a bit like the Jekyll and Hyde midfielder of the league, but he's capable of winning games on his own.
I was going to say, and with Garrity as well, considering where he came from as well, you know, he was essentially playing Sunday League football 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a big sort of rap for the NPL and sort of this level of football is, you know, we often talk about players that drop down from Football League clubs that have maybe been cut from academies, but, you know, to go and pick a lad up who's playing Sunday League football, who's then getting offers from, you know, got to move to the Football League, it's a great advert. I know Warrington have had a couple, they had Jamie McDonald, if you remember him, a couple of years ago, who came up from a similar level. I think Salford offered him a deal and he just decided he wanted, it was either Football League or nothing. Obviously Salford hadn't made it at that time, but I think it's a really good advert for the NPL in terms of not just looking at players from above, but, you know, you can find the players from below that can establish themselves at this level and earn the move further up.
We mentioned the talent in divisions below. That takes us to the next two players we need to mention, both at FC United, both with a history at step four. Michael Potts and Luke Griffiths. And I'll come to you, Birka, because Luke Griffiths is in nearly everyone's list. Why?
Because he's the best midfielder in the division the best number four, the best quarterback in the division by an absolute mile. He's the reincarnation of Callum Byrne. It's like going back in time to watch him in his pomp. It's absolutely brilliant. The amount of space he can find for himself, the crossfield balls that he plays. He's inventive when he plays the game. He's just an absolute pleasure to watch when he's on song, and that's most games. He's so consistent as well, and it's just it's a matter of time before he kicks on and we wave a fond farewell to him up the league, because if he carries on like this, he will be in the Football League. He's been outstanding.
There's no question. When we had the players of the season for FC United, the Manchester, from the radio perspective, we all pretty much agreed that the best player of the season from an FC perspective, and that included, you know, we got Tundy in there, who we'll be talking pretty about next week. But Luke Griffiths is undoubtedly, for me, the nicest footballer to watch that I've seen, as you say, from the likes of Callum Bird in his pomp, which I never saw, in all fairness. We saw him at FC United and we didn't get the best out of him, unfortunately, because circumstance just wasn't good in there, but you could see the quality. He's just beautiful to watch. He's got everything, every attribute. He's got the niggle, the bite, he's got 2 feet, he can dance out of challenges, he can put a challenge in if he wants, he can spread the ball left and right. But all of it, to be honest, wouldn't be possible to a certain large degree without Michael Potts in the team.
I just wanted to ask Swampy and Ben where you rank him in terms of the most naturally gifted players that have played for FC United. He reminds me ever so slightly of Ollie Banks. You know, Banks used to drop deep to pick up the ball and kind of have this wonderful range of passing, and he obviously got a move to the Football League and he's having a good career for himself. But I would argue, you obviously see these guys more, I would argue that Griffiths has got more potential than even Banks had. So I'm just interested, you know, you watch FC more than the rest of us, where you rank him in terms of that natural ability?
Natural talent is in abundance from him. I think he probably is. I mean, there'll be some great footballers coming through FC United over the years, but I think in his first his first full season to come up a step and to work the way he has and do it with no... He does it so simply, and he's one of those players that, and I think we notice him, but I think a lot of people, he's the kind of player that can go unnoticed because he does so much good stuff so easily. It's a hard thing to describe. You know, something that we would find difficult to do, he does it with such simplicity, it becomes second nature, and you just watch him. So you expect him every week to be just performing, and he does. He just week in, week out. But as you say, I think he's... Yeah, I think he's probably more talented than Banks. I think, though, that Griffiths has got the opportunity and will play league football. I think I've got no question. And if he doesn't play league football, I want to know why, because he's got every attribute and he's absolutely outstanding.
Let's go to South Shields, finally. We mentioned Sean Cook earlier, the midfield anomaly that is the number 10 shirt. Are they a midfielder? Are they a forward? We can mention Nathan Lowe in that discussion as well. But James Hayes, you've gone with Robert Briggs, as has Matt Carruthers. Player of the year last year at the club. 10 goals this season. Other than that, why have you picked him?
He's a complete midfielder. He's one of the players that's at South Shields pretty much 24-7, with not just with the academy. But you see him with a ball, he knows how to place it immediately. Whether, like Luke Griffiths says, it's a perfect package for what a club wants. You could put him into any NPL side. You've not just to control the ball, you control the team.
Right. That's our deliberation, then. That's the list. We need to get down to two players now, gentlemen. While we've been talking, I've been circling players who I think are probably in contention for this list. Prince Heywood, Liam Noble up at Morpeth. I want Niall Calpethwaite, but no one's going to agree with me. Matt Thornhill at Basford, Warrington's Ben Garrity, Luke Griffiths at SC, and Robert Briggs at South Shields. Who wants to narrow that down and start this jury service now that we've all volunteered for?
Well,
now
we have to, the caveat is the players don't have to complement themselves each other, do they? Purely down to the quality of the player. It's not down to the quality of this team that we've produced that will work, because I reckon this team that we're going to produce is going to get relegated.
Right. That would just about sum us up as pundits, that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It seems to me that everyone, I don't know about you, James Gordon, but everyone kind of agrees about Luke Griffiths' inclusion in the team. Is anyone going to argue against that?
No. I'm not. But what I would say is, you can't have someone alongside him who plays a very similar type of game. You need someone who's going to be doing the tackling for. You can't have another really a player who's focused on the creative side of things. You need someone who's going to do the dirty work.
That's why I asked the question, is this team based upon having the right blend or is it based upon the best players?
Best players.
I think Briggs and Griffiths, they're my two.
Okay.
If we're going off Swampy, I would put Haywood. If we're going off what Swampy's saying, I'd say Haywood instead. But yeah, Briggs and Griffiths for me.
I think the bigger question is, Ben, do we discount Ben Garrity?
I'm going to vote for Garrity. You persuaded me that because he left at the end of the transfer window as well, didn't he? He actually played most of January for Town. So I didn't have him in my list, but after listening, I am going to vote for Garrity as well as... well, I did say all week it's the Luke Griffiths and AN Other show, so my AN Other is Garrity.
I think...
I'll second that.
I was about to say, I think it comes down to, basically, I mean, we mentioned Prince Haywood, Liam Noble at Morpeth, Matt Fornell at Basford, but I think ultimately, I think James Gordon's right, I think it does ultimately come down to Robert Briggs or Ben Garrity. I think that's where we are.
Oh, we've just given Swampy. I've just realised we've given Swampy the deciding vote.
And I'm not going to vote for either of them because my actual vote was going to be for Prince Haywood. There's no question about it. Absolutely outstanding. However, I personally, looking at the quality of players that we have, and there's no every one of them is deserving to be in this team. There's no question about it. But I think from a Lancaster perspective, to do what they did last season, to have that centre midfield player in there, I think, and Berkey's just slightly altered my thought process because it's a way of complimenting another player. If you've got a big, tall, strong centre midfield player who can play week in, week out, alongside the likes of Griffiths, who can just hold back a little bit, that's the perfect combination. I wasn't going to base it on blend, but Berkey's convinced me to base it on blend, so I'm going to go with Niall. And that really screws things up, doesn't it?
Yes. Screwed it all right up, but Mark fell fancy.
Ben Garrity gets it because he got to move to league football, and anyone that does that deserves to be in the team. You can't leave a player out that actually goes on, plays for Blackpool, and has done tremendously well. So it has to be Garrity, no question about it.
So therefore, bring him out of the picture.
Yeah.
It has to be Griffiths and Garrity.
I mean, do you disagree with that? I mean, you did say
I'm happy to go with Griffiths and Garrity. Obviously, my opinion on Garrity is slightly skewed, seeing as I watched every single game that he played, I haven't watched every single game of the other players. But
now, me, Swampy, James Hayes has seen about the same amount of FC United matches this season as me and Swampy have. Timo and Berkey have seen a few, so you know we've all seen Luke Griffiths and gone, yes, Ben Garrity. The proof's in the pudding. He's signed for Blackpool. You've seen him every week. Is he deserving to be in this list?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
I think we've got the right blend there. I mean, you know, every player has got attributes, got great quality, done really well this season in their positions. And I don't think any their peers wouldn't turn around and say those two didn't deserve it, because I think everyone that's played against them recognises the quality, and every player recognises the quality of everyone, of all the players as well. So I think we've got it spot on, boys.
There we go.
I would say as well, dear listener, this is easily the hardest one, I think. I think in this position on the field, the standard, as we've talked about today, of player is above any of the other positions. And I include next week as well, by the way. We're going to talk about some really talented guys next week. But I think in this position on the field is the most difficult I've found to narrow it down. And we've got
if we played a three at the back, one holding midfield at the number four, and then five, it would have been easier, a lot easier. But it's a 4-4 that screwed us.
It's right. Well, I'll tell you this.
If we play one up top, next week's show would only be 2 minutes long.
Exactly. That's right. Let's remind everyone of the list so far then. So in goal from Radcliffe, Ollie Martin, Jordan Hunter at South Shields, Whitby's Kieran Luigi, Stefan Galinski at Basford, Adam Dodd at FC, Alistair Wadicker, Bamber, Bridge, Paddy Lane at Hyde United, and then in midfield now, joining this starting 11, Luke Griffiths from FC and Ben Garrity from Warrington. It's not that bad a team, to be honest.
Well, I think we've done pretty well, really, but to not have hardly any stick so far. So there's either two things to draw from that. No one's taking a blind bit of notice of what we say. we ain't done a bad job so far, and it is what it is.
But anyway, that's midfielders done and dusted. A big disclaimer, As Simo says, no one's been in touch. That's the correct response. Don't get in touch because it doesn't mean anything. There's no awards, no rewards. There's no trophies. There's no checks, nothing. It's just a bit of discussion and something to fill the time. But a big congratulations to Luke Griffiths and Ben Garrity for joining our NPL side for the past season. And a big thank you as well to James Gordon for joining us. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
That Widnes shirt in the background there, I see. There you go. Just there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Wearing his Radcliffe top, a big thank you to James Hayes.
No problem.
Yeah, thanks. Swamper, there he is with his dynamo chair. A big thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
A big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us. Always a pleasure. And with the best haircut on the phone call, a big thank you to Mr. Ian Burke. Thank you, Burke. Join us next week when we'll be discussing strikers and forwards. And then the week after, it'll be the last in the present series, managers. So join us next week for forwards. But a big thank you, everyone. And you all make sure you have a good weekend and you'll be hearing from us again next week. Bye-bye.